Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to Friday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I'm your host, Chris Stevens, TGIF. We made it to the end of the week. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you happen to follow along via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And if you can't catch us live, we're always available in podcast form, especially on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything on the podcast, download the shows for free. While you're there, you can rate us from 1 star to 5 stars and write a little review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. And for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone, search for All Subjects Everything there, take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. And don't forget to like our Facebook page, too, facebook.com/ All Subjects Everything. There you will find previous show links, news, and updates as to what we're working on, and we'll be rolling out questions and poll topics that you guys can talk about amongst yourselves, you know, get a dialogue going. We'll jump in every once in a blue moon, and that will help us develop a better show. Okay, so it's Friday. NBA is finally back, and it got off to an interesting start last night with the TNT doubleheader, the Cavaliers and Bulls and the Spurs and the Clippers in the second half of that doubleheader. And while neither team really, you know, neither team that lost last night was completely at full strength, the Bulls are obviously going to miss Jimmy Butler for another 3 weeks, and Kawhi Leonard got a night of rest fresh off his first All-Star game appearance. And the Cavaliers took advantage of that, you know, with the Bulls. You know, LeBron James had 25 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Kyrie Irving had 19 points, and Kevin Love had 15 points and 15 boards, and Cavaliers won going away. I still say that the Bulls will eventually get out of the doldrums once Butler is healthy and once Fred Hoiberg figures out that Bobby Portis needs a lot more minutes than he's been getting so far. The guy had a double-double in literally about 20 minutes. I mean, he's a rookie. I mean, I know he's got to work his way into the lineup, but you really can't wait at this point, because you don't know if Mirotić is going to be healthy or come out of the slump. You're not going to get Joakim Noah back. Pau Gasol is going to be 36 very soon. You got to start, you know, integrating Bobby Portis into, you know, the flow of things. And from the look of it, the kid's got it to me. I mean, he can hit the outside shot. He crashes the boards. He has a nice post game. He plays good post defense. I mean, it's time now. You can't wait. The Bulls have waited around for guys long enough. Now you start to see, you know, them kind of usher Derrick Rose into more of a background role, which is something we never thought we'd say about a guy who isn't even 30 years old yet. But, you know, they've got to start, you know, thinking about, you know, competing in the future and not just, you know, competing now, which they can do also. Because once you get Butler back and then, of course, you have Rose, you know, reasonably healthy, then you have Gasol and Portis as your bigs, Miritich as your stretch four, Moore and Brooks and Taj Gibson coming off the bench. That's not a bad lineup. I don't know if it's going to be good enough to beat Cleveland, as evidenced by last night, but it gives them a fair shot. But they've got to get healthy and in a hurry because the Eastern Conference is catching up. I mean, the Detroit Pistons, you know, they just swung a deal for Tobias Harris that definitely solves their, you know, scoring three problem. And you got to think the Charlotte Hornets are still going to be very much in the conversation for a playoff spot. So the Bulls really need to get it together. They're not going to win the Central. The Cavaliers have that locked down. The Cavs aren't going to give up that Central lead. But the Bulls can still get home court advantage because neither team, you know, and ahead of them, especially, you know, the Southeast leading Atlanta Hawks, really have that much of a, you know, advantage over them. So they could reasonably get one of the three, get the third or the fourth seed if they hustle up. That's going to be the key. But right now, the teams that are ahead of them, Cleveland, Toronto, and Boston are playing some very, very good basketball. Like, I really didn't expect the Celtics to challenge that quickly. I actually had them winning the division to start the year, but they got off to such a slow start. I said, well, maybe they take a step back and then they'll be ready in 2017. But apparently, Isaiah Thomas is, you know, got this team rolling on a hot streak. You know, and they're only a couple games behind the Raptors for first place in the Atlantic. So, even though it is just February 19th, I mean, we still got 2 months of regular season basketball left. But, you know, it's every game becomes critical now. This is the time where we start to take the NBA a little more seriously. Because, I mean, after the All-Star break, it's just kind of like, you know, okay, now, you know, everybody's, you know, had their fun. You know, the trade deadline has passed. You know, everybody's got their guys, their guns ready. And it's time to go. It's time to go. And the Bulls are no different. You know, they really got to start, you know, getting themselves healthy and full strength as ready as possible, you know, getting closer towards the playoffs, because you definitely don't want to, you know, not have any kind of, you know, momentum going in. And you definitely, in the Eastern Conference, don't want to concede home court advantage in the first round of playoffs, because it almost always never ends well, is what I was trying to say. Over to the Spurs-Clippers game, that really was, you know, a transitional game for both teams because, of course, the Spurs sat Kawhi Leonard after his star turn in the All-Star game. And the Clippers were without Lance Stephenson, who they traded earlier in the day to Memphis, along with a protected 2019 first-round pick for Jeff Green. So neither team really had, like, you know, a full-strength squad or anything worth, you know, talking about. And Chris Paul took advantage of that last night with 28 points, 12 assists and 5 boards, and Clippers won going away. But here's the thing about Greg Popovich. He really doesn't care. You know, I mean, granted, he's a competitor and he hates to lose like any other guy in the NBA, I'm certain, but his grasp of what is most important during an NBA season is, you know, unlike any other coach or talent evaluator in the league, and it infuriates the NBA so much because the Spurs are so good, but he really does not care for the spotlight at all, as evidenced by his grumpy, surly in-game interviews, which I really don't like anyway. And this is coming from a guy who's, you know, who has a journalism degree. I understand the sideline reporters have a job to do, but in the middle of the game, it's just kind of like after the first quarter, after the third quarter, it's kind of eh. But halftime and, you know, heading into the locker room at halftime or, you know, getting a quick word with him after the game, that's fine. But, you know, every first quarter, at the end of every first quarter, at the end of every third quarter, it's like, yo, the game's not even over yet. Can we get some, you know, sort of, you know, window of wait between asking coaches questions? I mean, most of them are pretty good about it. Most of them are pretty good about it. But Pop will only engage if it's Craig Sager. It's probably because, you know, he has more respect for Craig as a journalist than, you know, Craig Sager, thank goodness, beat cancer. But the rest of them, good luck. You know, he'll just look at you, or he'll give you like a one-word answer that may not have anything to do with basketball. Pop, you guys got off to kind of a slow start offensively. What do you think you have to do in the second quarter to kind of right the ship? Parmesan cheese. He might say that. He hasn't said it yet, but he's probably to that point now. Pop, Tim Duncan really hasn't played much in the third quarter. Do you think you will see more of him and LaMarcus Aldridge on the floor together in the fourth quarter? Greenland. He might do that. I mean, he just might. You can't predict Pop's move one way or the other. You can't predict his mood one way or the other. And sometimes it makes for some hilarious conversation, and sometimes it makes for some very awkward conversation. But one thing you can count on is that the Spurs are definitely going to be there come late May, early June. Because he's got Tim Duncan on cruise control. That's probably why the Spurs probably had the best offseason of any team in the NBA, because not only did they get LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, to kind of be Tim Duncan's replacement, if you will, they also got David West, who turned down literally $13 million for a $1 million contract with the Spurs and the opportunity to win the championship. And David West is one of the more underrated big forwards in the game for his scoring ability, his rebounding, and his overall toughness. So when you have somebody as talented as Aldridge, when you have somebody as determined and as gritty as David West, you don't have to play Tim Duncan every night or more than 30 minutes every night. When you give Tim Duncan just about 25 minutes in the regular season, then you can turn him up for 30 or 35 in the playoffs, I like the Spurs' chances. I like the Spurs' chances a lot. Golden State ain't no joke. I mean, they're the defending champions. They're likely going to win 70, but don't put anything past the Spurs. That's just something you cannot, you know, just something you can't forget, you know, when you start talking about the NBA and the NBA playoffs, especially in the Western Conference. As for the Clippers, the Stevenson for Green deal, it's kind of, you know, win now mode. Because they realized they weren't going to get much more from Lance Stevenson than what they already had. So he had to go. And in Jeff Green, you get somebody who kind of sort of gives you what you had with Matt Barnes, even though Green is a much better offensive scorer because he can get his own shot and he can, you know, as we've seen through various YouTube, Vine, and Instagram clips, he can put you on a poster readily. So it's an interesting deal for the Clippers in the sense that they realize that they're not going to necessarily catch Golden State, but at the same time, they realize they could still get out of the first round and then, you know, take whatever chances they may, you know, going forward, you know, in the conference semis and, you know, maybe the conference finals. But that doesn't seem likely. Stranger things have happened. I'll give you that. But I just don't know if the Clippers, even when they get Blake Griffin back, because Griffin tends to, you know, demand a lot of the ball and demand a lot of the shot. And Blake isn't a particularly great defensive player. And you need defense in the playoffs. So that would be, you know, that's a win-now trade for the Clippers. It absolutely is a win-now trade for the Clippers. Will they do it? I don't know. I really don't know. But I can guarantee you that they just became a lot more interesting team, you know, with someone with the athleticism of Jeff Green joining the roster. Now when you have guys like Green, DeAndre Jordan, and when he gets back from, you know, broken hand from punching a trainer, Blake Griffin, that can go up and go get the ball, maybe Lob City is back, and maybe for the better, especially since Green can create his own shot and hit the outside shot. Not that Barnes couldn't, but Green is a, you know, volume shooter, and you pair him with Jamal Crawford coming off the bench, that could be a very, very lethal combination. Very lethal combination. But overall, I don't know how much we can gauge, you know, from last night because neither of the marquee teams were at full strength. But I can almost guarantee that this is going to be an interesting second half of the season for the most part, because, you know, there's always going to be, there's going to be that watch, you know, the Golden State Warriors 70-win watch. You know, now that, you know, the Cavaliers have settled on a coach finally and have made the moves that they're going to make, they acquired Channing Frye and traded away Jared Cunningham and longtime Cavaliers Anderson Varejao, which I didn't understand, but hey. Now the Cavs are settled in, you know, the rest of the East is playing catch-up. The Raptors are playing good ball. The Celtics are playing good ball. The Hawks are just there. They're just always in the middle of it, for better or for worse. The Bulls, will they come out of it? You know, will they come out of slump? Are the Pistons and Hornets wild cards? You just don't know. But one thing I can almost, you know, be certain of is that the Cavaliers will probably win the Eastern Conference. It won't be easy. It definitely won't be easy. But I think, you know, they're just far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference when they're all playing together on the same page and healthy. And once they get to the finals, they have to, you know, doesn't matter if it's San Antonio, doesn't matter if it's Golden State, doesn't matter if it's even Oklahoma City, who really is like the dark horse in this whole equation. Haven't mentioned the Thunder once, but with a pissed off Durant and a super pissed off Russell Westbrook, you definitely can't count them out. Even if the Cavaliers get any three of those teams in the finals, they're going to have to defend harder than they've ever defended, make their shots count, which they failed to do after going up 2-1 last year against the Warriors. They just got to be smarter about theirs. They just got to be smarter about it. And, you know, granted, they didn't have Kyrie Irving for 5.5 NBA Finals games, because Uncle Drew was showing off before he split his kneecap. Then after that, the Cavaliers had to rely on Matthew Dellavedova as the point guard. And you never want to rely on Matthew Dellavedova as the point guard. You know, got a couple months left of season left, about 30, 35 games left for each team. We will see how it turns out. But we'll get a better picture once the playoff seedings are set and everything, and we'll know who's going where, who's playing who, who's doing what. But at least, you know, these guys got a week off, because the NBA schedule is dreadful. Like, you know, they have back-to-backs. You know, sometimes teams play three nights in a row. And then they wonder why guys are, you know, getting injured more often, because the NBA schedule leaves no wiggle room. There's literally, you know, if you're an Iron Man in today's NBA, you're really made of some strong stuff. Because the way the schedule's set up, the way the game is set up, the overall, you know, physical nature of basketball, whoever said basketball wasn't a non-contact sport was lying. It's stressful on the body. It's absolutely stressful on the body. So for those guys to, you know, kind of, you know, ratchet it up and play every night, it's very impressive. So you just kind of sort of, you know, gamble and budget that, you know, certain guys are going to miss, you know, a game here or there, you know, to rest some aches and pains. Because it really doesn't make any sense to play everybody all 82 games and then, you know, have them tire out in the first round, especially when the first round is still a foolish 7 games. I've already said that if the NBA ever goes to a best-of-16 format, common for the playoffs, you know, regardless of conference, common sense would tell you that they would have to go back to a best-of-5 first round. Because generally by game 3, you know who's going to win a series. Sometimes it'll be a sweep. Sometimes another team will be dominant, up 2-1. And then, you know, it's just like, you know, take it from there. The best of five first round in the NBA was way more intriguing than the best of sevens that's been going on since 2003. And that's just my humble opinion. But, hey, you know, the NBA makes money off of it. And when you make money, you don't want to stop making it. So, yeah, just, you know, going back to a best-of-5 first round is just, you know, wishful thinking from your boy. On to the second part of our show, which really, you know, is probably going to be like about 5 minutes long. I didn't anticipate talking about the NBA for about 15, 20 minutes. But, hey, WWE Fastlane, this is the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania, which is the biggest pay-per-view in wrestling and the original, the OG, if you will, of wrestling pay-per-views. WrestleMania 32 this year will take place from AT&T Stadium in, I can't remember if it's Irving or Arlington, Texas. You know, somebody listening to this from Texas probably will correct me later on, but I think it's Arlington, Texas. and which, of course, is a suburb of Dallas. And the WWE prides itself on putting on WrestleMania as the greatest show ever. But with all of these injuries, I mean, you know, Daniel Bryan had to retire. Seth Rollins won't be back from tearing 3 or 4 ligaments in his knee until probably SummerSlam. Cesaro is still having neck trouble. Randy Orton just had shoulder surgery. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. So they're, you know, really kind of scrambling to put together a lineup here. And Sunday is probably going to be a better, you know, gauge of, you know, how lacking the main roster talent is, because they haven't brought the NXT kids up and got them developed quick enough for me. I mean, you can just look at, I mean, just look at the card. I mean, for starters, you know, the U.S. title match should absolutely be on the main card, because it's Kalisto, the underdog, who's made a name for himself after his Lucha Dragons partner, Sin Cara, broke his shoulder thanks to Big E. And it's him versus Alberto Del Rio in the best 2 out of 3 falls match. Why is that on the kickoff show? Because nobody, because I can promise you nobody's going to give a damn about Kane, the Big Show, and Ryback versus Braun Strowman, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper. Nobody does. Unless the Undertaker comes out of the rafters and we find out the Undertaker's facing Braun Strowman at WrestleMania, which I really hope doesn't happen, because Strowman's not ready for that yet. The Chris Jericho, AJ Styles match should be interesting, because those guys literally are mirror images of each other, even down to the boots. But, you know, Kevin Owens versus Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental title, that should be a crush, even though Dolph is very talented. He definitely gets the short end of the stick, which is why he's tweeting about the GOP and Democratic, you know, town halls and debates instead of tweeting, you know, wrestling stuff. I think Dolph realizes that, you know, his ship has passed and he's already preparing for phase 2 of his life. Divas title match, Charlotte versus Brie Bella. This is nothing but an attempt to get, you know, Charlotte to WrestleMania with the chip so that hopefully she'll drop it to Sasha Banks, because Brie Bella, obviously, you know, Daniel Bryan's wife, you know, one last chance for her to get the ring, you know what I mean, for her to get the belt and, you know, work a yes chant out of a crowd. And, you know, of course, Sasha and Becky Lynch are taking on Tamina and Naomi, and I really don't understand why Naomi hasn't walked out yet. She's the most underused talent, man or woman, on that roster. Like, why she hasn't had a run with the Divas Championship, brief or not yet, is beyond me. And then, of course, the one, you know, non-action part of the evening will be Edge and Christian talking to the New Day. So hopefully this will be a chance to expand on the New Day being absolutely hilarious and the thing that's saving the WWE from losing a lot of viewership. Because who would ever thought that 3 black guys, one Jamaican, one Haitian, and one regular old black American, would band together and be a hilarious, you know, group of, you know, wrestlers who actually can wrestle and be mean and tough. And I don't know why I keep saying Kofi's from Jamaica when he's actually Ghanaian. So we got a legit African, we got a Haitian in Big E, and we've got, you know, Austin, I mean, I almost called him by his old wrestler name, Xavier Woods, who is just regular old black American from Georgia. And those guys are, you know, the most interesting thing WWE has popping right now. And then, of course, you have the triple threat match for the World Wrestling Entertainment heavyweight title. It's Reigns versus Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose. And I got to give Stephanie McMahon credit, because she's been working this angle about, you know, Roman, you know, always stepping in Dean's spotlight. So Dean, now that he's lost the Intercontinental Championship, the heel turn is on the way. As much as I don't want Dean Ambrose to be a heel, it just makes sense at this point in time. And Brock Lesnar probably won't win it, because it'll probably be Reigns versus Triple H, you know, for it all at WrestleMania. So this might be Bray Wyatt's chance to, you know, jump in and, you know, establish himself as a real, for real threat. And then, you know, Brock versus Bray build up at WrestleMania. And that could, you know, develop from tomorrow, from Sunday night. But we'll be watching. I'll be watching. I'll be tweeting. You can follow your boy on Twitter at CJ Starchild if you're not already. And we'll just, you know, see how this, you know, this gateway pay-per-view to WrestleMania works out. because right now WWE needs something to get, you know, to restock, refuel the engines, if you will. And they need it in the worst way. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to All Subjects Everything all week long. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air. iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Y'all enjoy your weekend. I'm working tomorrow, so I ain't got no weekend. But, you know, we'll be back on Monday to recap Fastlane, talk about some other stuff, and, you know, whatever, you know, develops over the weekend. So until then, y'all enjoy your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And until Monday morning, y'all be good or be good at it.